Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to April, and it's the Brad and Body Podcast. Hello, Buttoned.
Hello, Bradley. It's fantastic to be back, and I'm thrilled to bits at the guest we have. So I'll waste no further time. Go straight to your intro.
Well, I am going to say to this guest, Body and I had been speaking about him for ages, thinking, oh, how good would it be to get this man on? And we got him. And when you think of New Zealand basketball, there is no one better. He was born and raised in Auckland. He played his basketball for his high school. He knows all about it. But if memory serves me correct, I believe he was also an outstanding volleyball player when he was younger. And we're going to ask that question as well. In 2005, he played for the Junior All Blacks team and then accepted a scholarship to Washington State University, where he spent a few years there. But after completing that, he came back as a DP player, Body, in the 2008-09. What a great story for the New Zealand Breakers. And then he's gone on to an illustrious and still going career. In 10-11, he helped the Breakers to their first championship, and he was the grand final MVP. That was one of four championships that he has delivered to New Zealand. The one I love, in the 16-17 season, he's got 50-40-90. So only two people that have done that in the NBL. Unbelievable. And that just shows you what a class player he is. I think he holds every record that is absolutely possible in New Zealand. He's got most points, most games, all 3 points made. He's probably got most towels that he's carried, water bottles. He's done it all, this man. And he was a part of the All Blacks team winning medals at the 2006 Commonwealth Games. His career highlights is just phenomenal. Four-time NBL champion, a two-time New Zealand champion, all NBL teams, grand final MVP, as I mentioned, All-Star 5, most outstanding forward in the New Zealand League, New Zealand rookie 2009. Like I said, he is just the man when we think about New Zealand, and none other than Tom Abercrombie. Tom, thanks for joining us, mate.
G'day, lads. Thanks for that that very nice intro. I particularly like the bits about playing for the Junior All Blacks. The rugby days were long behind me, but I did play for the All Blacks.
All Blacks, I got it wrong. Oh, I was so close.
I was going to get him later.
I mean, I do have a rugby body, but no, I chose a different path.
Was I right about the volleyball, though?
You were right about the volleyball. I'm glad we're going to talk about that today, because I have very fond memories of my times playing volleyball in high school.
Fantastic.
So that's a great place for us to start, is how you got into basketball in the beginning. Like, is there a family member, is it a family history, or is it a school thing? How did you get into it?
I guess I was like a lot of other Kiwi kids. I played everything under the sun, just loved my sports, and especially playing with my brother in the backyard, or hoops in the carport out the back. But my mum was a basketball player. She still is a basketball player. Still plays twice a week now.
Wow.
And she got me into it in primary school. I probably started when I was about 8 years old. And as sort of the other sports dropped away, once my frame outgrew my rugby days, and I realized I was pretty well suited to basketball. That's sort of when I started to take that really seriously in those high school years. And it was basketball and volleyball for a long time, sort of all through high school. Those were my two passions. And to be honest, I did love playing volleyball more than basketball back then. I had all my good friends were in my volleyball team, and volleyball was just a really good vibe in New Zealand, like the national tournaments and stuff. Awesome atmospheres in the stadium, everyone, you know, crowding around courts and watching people play, and you know, really, really helped develop timing and athleticism and things like that. And, you know, lots of transferable skills, which have helped me immensely. So, they were fun days.
So what's better, a fantastic dunk or a terrific spike?
It's got to be a spike, man. It's been too long in between them. So I have good memories.
Can I ask your height, because I'm thinking, what a physique. I mean, unbelievable for NBL and basketball. But for volleyball, were you always the tall kid?
Yeah, I was. But that's what I kind of started to figure out towards the end of high school. Like, I was tall and athletic and, you know, starting to really get into volleyball. And then you go and watch, like, the Olympics comes on, you see some of these Olympic volleyball players, and they're 6'10", 6'11", flying around. And so, man, these guys are playing hoops, that'd be incredible. And, you know, there's not a lot of future in volleyball after high school, really. That pathway kind of shuts off, and barring a scholarship to the US, I enjoyed my basketball as well and saw a future in that. So I'm pretty happy with the decision I made.
No, no question there. I do want to ask, because we've had heaps of players on here and a lot of Australians that go to the Institute. What I don't know enough about the younger areas of New Zealand. I'd love to hear that. What happens when you finish in school? Like you mentioned something there. Is there a pathway or is it really college?
For volleyball or basketball?
Basketball, sorry. We'll stay with the sport that you did okay in.
We've moved on now. there's obviously college. Back when I was a youngster, college was really the only pathway. The Breakers had just started up and wasn't really seen as a pathway to the professional ranks. So it was college if that's what you really wanted to do. You've got other options now, obviously, with development player spots and other opportunities in New Zealand NBL. There's plenty of opportunities now for young kids who might not want to go and do the college route to still develop their games in this part of the world and get an education as well. Kids have got options now, but there's more and more Kiwi kids going over to college than ever before. That experience is still as alluring as it is, as it was when I was a young kid. So you can't blame kids for wanting to go over and dip their toes over there.
So tell me, Tom, this year, this season just gone, did you have that expectation at the start of the season that your team could be fighting off for the championship? Did you feel that in the preseason with the group, that having played in four championships and knowing what that feels like or what that mentality is like among the group, did you feel that or did you guys overachieve?
I think the really good thing was that because of what we'd sort of been through the last couple of years, every team goes into a season wanting to compete for a championship, but we had a lot of other motivations to. It felt like we were essentially starting from scratch, right? We had a new coach. We're back in New Zealand. We're trying to re-engage that fan base and reconnect with our fans in New Zealand and find our identity and all that kind of thing. And really, the focus was on developing ourselves into a team that New Zealand would be proud of and that people would enjoy watching and playing a style that would relate to New Zealanders, that they would respect and get behind. And I think building it that way, it made a lot of sense because we laid a really strong foundation. We recruited people that fitted a certain style and way of playing. And whilst we all wanted to win, initially that wasn't the focus, but had a lot of hungry guys with chips on their shoulders coming off different situations where they probably hadn't played their best basketball the year before. And to answer your earlier question, like there was definitely a great atmosphere and vibe within the team from the very early days that we could do something special. And I think that that all bred from us not taking anything for granted, that opportunity to be at home and start a preseason at home sometimes can be a little bit of a grind, but we were just so excited to be in that environment again and appreciate the, I guess, comforts of home and routine and schedule and all that kind of stuff.
Well, let's take one step back then, because you're a family man, right? You've got kids.
Three kids.
Right. So
You can see, we're just looking on camera here and he's got some beautiful drawings behind him. Now, I know our listeners can't see it. I thought Boddy drew them, but there's no question they're way too good for him. That would be Tom's kids for sure.
I thought Tom's art classes have really paid off. But no, let's go back that step, because the two COVID years, I mean, tell us a bit about that. How difficult was that for you as a husband and a father to just be away for that long? And like, I can't imagine what that would have to have been an ordeal. And then you're still trying to win basketball games. Just walk us through that a bit.
Yeah, look, to be honest, it's not something I want to go into too much. It was a very, very difficult time for me, and I'm still dealing with the sort of ramifications on a personal level and things like that. I think most people sort of know briefly sort of what's happened in my world in that regard. And it's something that I continue to juggle and continued to deal with. But, you know, most certainly those 2 years in Australia took a toll. Almighty toll. Yeah. From a family perspective, from a personal level. Life's a bit more complicated now, and it's a bit of a juggling act. I've got, as you said, three little kids, so trying to do the best thing for them and be there for them as much as I can, and juggle that with, you know, a pretty demanding season and things like that. Even though we've been home, it's been just as challenging, I guess, as the last couple of years were. So, I like to think I'm sort of through the worst of that now, and dealing with things as best as possible and moving on.
Can I just ask you one thing about the basketball side of that? The NBL seemed to, for want of a better term, dick you guys around a fair bit. Like, there was a period where it seemed that Launceston was going to be your home base, and then next minute you're playing a home game in Cairns or something. Well, would it have been, I mean, would you have preferred, or did you guys have discussions that it would be good if you were just based in one place in Australia, wherever that was? Like, okay, here's where the breakers are going to be. Would that have made it a bit easier?
Yeah, it would have. And that's essentially what we did the second year, being based in Melbourne. But I think everyone was just trying to figure it out as we're going along. And that first year was a tricky situation for everyone. But as you said, you know, we started off in Melbourne. We went down to Tassie and Launceston. We spent time in Cairns and Sydney as our home base. And we really did. We went everywhere, and we were taking families and things with us the whole time. So that was very tricky. It was you know, a little bit better in some respects the second year when we were based in Melbourne. We're still playing home games.
We would have put you in Gold Coast, and therefore
that would have been nice.
Yeah, you should have had a good time.
The season would have been over, by the way, Tom. We just would have put you in Gold Coast, though. So, Tom, I do. There's so many questions that's coming through my mind, but I want to ask the fact that you had a Dan Shamir for the time when you're away, and then I love Modi, crazy Modi, whatever you want to call him, like on the sideline. For him, I don't think I've ever seen an assistant coach step up and do what he's done. Phenomenal. I'd love to hear you as a player. What was that like to go from that on the road to then come home and, well, now it's our assistant coach. What's that going to be like, to all the way to the grand final?
Yeah, look, I mean, an impossible task really for Dan in what he faced. We had 1 year in New Zealand where it took a, you know, pretty slow start, a lot of time to figure things out. We had some success that first year. We almost made we were one game away from making the playoffs. Started to play some good basketball. And then 2 years over in Australia was an impossible task for anyone. So, you know, it was a tough situation for him. But I guess Modi being through that tough time with us, and the one thing about us being on the road is that we spent too much time together as people. You know, sometimes you want to get away from your teammates and coaches and go home and do other stuff, but we're literally living with each other for 2 years, essentially. So we got to know each other very well. You know, Modi, myself, the other guys who were there for that, we developed really deep relationships and had a lot of conversations about the breakers and you know, why we were successful in the past and what we could do better and all these sorts of things. So, you know, Modi's got all this stuff floating around in his mind on top of already, I think, just an incredible basketball mind and a really, really hungry individual who, you know, wants to be successful, but, you know, more so wanted success for this club because he knew some of the things that some of us have gone through. So, you know, he's absolutely just committed all of himself to that role. And as you can see, he wears his emotions on his sleeve. He's a very, very passionate guy. And that came through in his coaching style, came through in the style that we played. And we all, you know, respected and understood where he was coming from and what he was trying to teach us and buy us into. So in that respect, it was a really smooth transition for a guy stepping up into a head coaching role.
So I'm going to go straight into it now. I'm going to ask you a hard question. Firstly, are you back next year?
Yeah. Like I haven't signed anything yet, but we've agreed to terms and things and figuring out the details. But the plan at the moment is to come back for another year for sure.
Well, I will say, because unfortunately, like all players go through injuries here and there, they are such a better team with you in it. So please God, you are there. But my next thing is as I've heard coaches say this before, how do you put what you've done in your back pocket now and move on to next season, but also realize what an outstanding thing. You know how people say like, okay, that's done, it's in the past, but it sounds like the crap that you went through, let's just put it that way, the crap that you went through built something special for that year. How do you transfer that into next season?
Yeah, it's almost, if you look at it, I guess, as a win-loss thing after a game, after a win, you want to take that confidence into the next one and, not become too complacent. You learn a lot more from your losses than you do from your wins. And so we want to absolutely take in the confidence that we gain from this year and the belief that we and the way that we can play can be successful in this league. But, as you said, you don't want any complacency to slip in. We can't for 1 second think because we had a successful season last year, it's going to translate to next year. So many things change. And whilst we may have a core of players back, so much is dictated on those import pieces that you can get in to fill the rest of the puzzle and things like that. So I think the character of the people that Modi brought in last year, you could see that shine through, and it's going to be the same kind of character guys that he's going to try and bring into the fold again next year. And, Modi's not going to let any complacency seep in. It's just the way he is. He's pretty tough guy who demands a lot. So I think if he sees any of that, it'll be nipped in the butt pretty quickly.
You were a different team back when you were winning championships, and there was that love-hate relationship with absolutely no love with Perth Wildcats. That was, those were really full-on grand final series, and that was, of all the rivalries we have, and we do have a number of them, and I actually particularly like your rivalry with Cairns, which people seem to forget that you guys have played for the championship twice and you've got Ibekwe hitting that, winning shot. There's a terrific history there. But going back to Perth, because the way I look at these breakers that you have now, or that you just had, and hopefully you'll be very similar again, you are great fun to watch. I really love them. Back then, though, it was like you and Perth were just having a fist fight on the court. Was there a real, real hatred between those two teams?
To be honest, no, I don't think it was hatred. I think there was respect because we both played similar styles in a lot of ways. That toughness and physicality that they prided themselves on, we did too. When you get those two styles going up against each other, it's going to be tough and probably not pretty to watch a lot of the times, but had a number of battles with the likes of Damo and stuff over the years, and obviously a fantastic, awesome guy off the court, and a really tough competitor on it. I think there was a lot of respect there between the two teams and players, but certainly it was one that you wanted to beat Perth every time we played them.
I was going to say, did you avoid Jesse Wagstaff? Because if you walk past him, he's going to fall over. any time. See him even in an airport lounge. Oh, Jesus, there's Jesse. Stay away, he's going to fall on his back.
Yeah, he's not the only one.
Yeah. That stuff. Yeah. I think Sean Reddy's taught him.
I'm going to jump in there and I'm going to ask a quick question, though. NBA, there was a lot of talk about you potentially going to the NBA. There was no question, athleticism, game and everything like that. Did you get offers? Was it something that you looked at?
I think the best opportunity I had for that was I had some really good offers the year. I can't remember which year it was, but I hurt my ankle really badly in the semifinals. Semifinals, game three of the semifinals where I was Peter Crawford took me out right at the end of the game. And I ended up going on and getting a few jabs and playing the grand final series, but I had to have surgery after the season and stuff. And that was sort of one of my better seasons in the league. I think I'd made first team that year and had a really good opportunity with Boston in the summer league and some workouts lined up. I think that was sort of a good opportunity for me to go and do it. And obviously had to put those plans on ice with the injury, and that injury took a long time to get right from. I could obviously play in it, but mentally that ankle took a little while to come right. And, you know, I did go back and do some workouts for teams. I think it was the year after, or maybe a couple of years after that, and played summer league for Phoenix. But, I don't know. I don't think it was the timing wasn't quite right then. Would it have been any different a year before? Who knows? I've always been someone who's thrived sort of in the comforts of home. It's a tough environment to go and make it over there. And I certainly feel like I could have done it, but also, you know, have no regrets of the path that I've taken.
No, nor should you. All right, it's this time of the year. It's this time of the pod. All right, so
Don't do that. There's a couple of questions I still want to
follow. Oh, okay. All right, go on. We're loving this, Tom. We're loving this.
But one of those is, I just want to know who your best teammate has been, and that can be with the Tall Blacks or with the Breakers. And then I'd like to know who your toughest opponent has been, both internationally and NBL.
Ooh, best team, man. I've had so many good teammates.
How can you ask that, buddy? Come on, that's pretty good.
Can I give you an all-star five?
All-star five, yeah. Can you do it by guard and forward?
All right, let's see how I go. Obviously, I mean, Mika was a great mentor to me and a fantastic teammate. I was very lucky to play Paul Hanare, Phil Jones, guys who I looked up to when I was a little kid, Kirk Penny, CJ Bruden was a wonderful teammate to have. When I think about the Americans, two guys kind of spring to mind. We had a guy who I'm sure you know, Gary Wilkinson, who was just a wonderful, wonderful guy who I got on really well with off the court. Absolutely love that guy. And so he was fantastic. Another guy, Ben Woodside, who wasn't here for too long, but got on really well with him. So, you know, those guys stand out when first think about it. But as I said, so many good teammates over the years.
And your toughest opponents?
Toughest opponent. I think about Perth and some of those battles we had. I never really directly matched up with Damo, but as I said, I had a lot of respect for how he went about things. I've really enjoyed my battles with Yuli over the years. We obviously played similar positions, been matched up a lot in the NBL and Tall Blacks and Boomers games. Got a lot of respect for what he's done in his career and some of the battles we've had. So, yeah, he can get the nod.
And internationally, it's not that Memphis Grizzlies guy that just won the defensive player and dunked it or stuffed it out of him. It wouldn't be that guy, obviously.
I'm sure I'm on his mind all the time. He can't forget about me. I like it how he gets little reminders from time to time, though.
All right, fire away, Brad.
All right, so, Tom, what we do now is we're going to throw some names at you, and they're obviously people you know well, and all we're looking is for just, like, one word, one sentence, just a quick anecdote, something that first springs into your mind. So I'm going to start, Kirk Penny.
Best shooter I've ever seen.
Good one, yep.
All right, I got Perro Cameron.
One of the smartest players I've ever played with. And probably the most unique.
Okay.
Dean Vickerman.
Dino. Tough, charismatic, really fun to play for.
Okay. Well, talk about fun to play for. What about Andre Lemanis?
Yeah, a real mentor for me. A really special coach in my journey, the guy who sort of got me back on the right path after college and showed me how good I could be.
Yeah, brilliant. He's a loss not being in the NBL, that's for sure. I'm going to throw someone quite new to you, William McDowell-White.
Oh, point guard.
That's great. Is that his name that he made up or did you?
Nah, I've just given that to him now. I love that guy. Honestly, one of the best point guards to have on your team. Just incredible reader of the game and decision maker and makes everyone better.
And I will throw in something here. Me personally, could not be happier he's re-signed with New Zealand for everything. The fact that he played so well there, that he's honouring the club that gave him that chance in a way, I think it's fabulous that he's re-signing there.
Yep. No, obviously so do I. To lace him up with him for another year for sure.
And I like the fact that point guard and point guard are so close. That's a very clever nickname. All right, I got one more for you. This one might challenge you. Glenn Rice Jr.
Misunderstood.
Okay.
he gets a bad rap, but he was a good guy to have around in this short time.
Very short.
But yeah, very short. Incredibly talented player. Yeah. A bad decision maker off the court, sometimes to his own fault, sometimes not. Certainly misunderstood.
Perfect name. Tom, we'd love to have you on again sometime because we've only touched the edges. You've been an absolute, you're a superstar of our league, but I've got a few mates that have played with you, like a Jared Weeks and things like that, and everyone that we've ever heard of and part of the commentary is just what a great guy you are, and it has oozed out today as well. We can't thank you enough. You are an absolute legend of a bloke and a legend of our league. Thank you so much for coming on, mate. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. It was great having a chat, and looking forward to next year really.
I had goosebumps there sometimes when Tom was talking there, buddy. He was outstanding. That time that he was away from home, you could see what it drained, what it did. You can see how good it was to get home. What a champion guy.
Honestly, we have to have him on again.
Because he
skipped over his college career. There's a lot more to talk about in his international career with the Tall Blacks. I'm curious to what his ambitions are post-basketball because he's closer to the end than the beginning. I think we should look at getting him back during the season when we're back underway. But listen, right now, the fans out there have been waiting a month for a new Rose and Rattler.
Oh, no, they haven't. But okay, let's talk anyway. My Rose and Rattler, and you're going to go, oh, yeah, Brad, whatever, it actually goes out to the NBL because I'm actually loving – I have not seen an off-season like this. There is so much communication that's coming out, the signings that are going on, the draws come out. Now, of course, for me, the first thing I look at is the Sydney Kings draw because you want to see what's going on. Mate, out of their 14 games, 10 of them are on a Sunday at 4 o'clock, I think it is. And then you've got your other games that are over Christmas and you've got a Christmas Day game and stuff. I just think they're ticking every box. The last two games the Kings had, they had over 18,000 people there. Yeah. Mind you, semifinals and game 3 and 5, I get it. But they're doing everything. It just feels like to me, Boddy, that the power has shifted where, years ago it would have been like, oh, if you're playing a game, well, you'll play on Monday night because we might get a concert there on the Saturday. They want the NBA. And I'm not talking about Sydney. I'm talking anyway, Adelaide. Great crowds. Brisbane, yep. Perth. Tasmania are now going to have a Christmas Day game. I just think everything this league is doing is just, again, ticking boxes. I'm really excited about the next-gen stars that are coming over, the players that are moving around. Mate, it just feels like this off-season has just continued on and there's so much talk. So kudos to the NBL, mate. Well done.
Yep. Okay. Well, mine, Nodge Nasty, which I know people have been on the edge of their seat waiting.
Unbelievable.
The mail I've received. Anyway, instead of a Nodge Nasty, it's going to be a Nodge NCAA because, and I'm talking about a woman here, watching Caitlin Clark, I hadn't seen her in action. I've read about her, but I hadn't seen her in action until I watched the Iowa-South Carolina game. South Carolina were the defending champions, and she goes off for 41 points as a point guard.
Unbelievable.
Her decision-making. I mean, they tried to keep the ball out of her hands, and they were unsuccessful in doing so. And she, she crops up in the playoff for the championship against Louisiana, and she goes for 30. And I'm sort of thinking, well, she didn't have that good a game. So isn't that amazing that you can be that good that you can go for 30 in a championship game, but your team loses – And that wasn't as good as she is. That girl, we just remember her name because she is going to be a feature player for the next
Unbelievable. I mean, what's she hit? 7, 8, 9 threes? I mean, just phenomenal. She just kept going. So she was great. Well, let's stay on the NCAA then. What did you think about that? I mean, you know, we don't talk a lot about overseas stuff outside, you know, NBA and NCAA, but what did you think about the two men's and women's finals?
I wasn't dazzled with the men's games, to be honest. They didn't capture my imagination as the way the women's did. Of course, we had Australians involved, and last year, Pa from Melbourne played for LSU and played wrong in the final too. She drew fouls out of Clark and made two big threes in that second quarter run there. So I was a little bit more dazzled and impressed with the women, also knowing that quite a lot of those girls are juniors, so they're back for another year. They're not nominating for WNBA, so really looking forward to next year's NCAA playoffs.
Well, obviously, a good friend of mine as well, Rod Proctor, his son, Tyrese, he's going round again for Duke as well. There was talk he was going to do one season, so he's riding it back and going there. So I'm looking forward to seeing him do that Duke again. And then I'd expect him to go into the draft for next year.
Are you saying Duke? Like there's some Duke. Kind of American? Yo, Duke.
Yo, Duke.
Duke, baby.
Duke. Well,
you're Australian. Speak English.
Speaking of the women's, we actually haven't spoken. What a great tournament by Townsville. What amazing. Congratulations to Shannon Seabom. I think thoroughly deserved. He did an outstanding job. And they were great.
I think the big key to them, seriously, that people have overlooked, is they were a good team that were in contention. But when they got Zatina Rakusa back from injury and they got Shyla Hill mid-season. So now, think about it. Any of those contenders, had Shyla Hill gone to, say, Melbourne Boomers?
Yeah, he puts them up.
Any other team would have put him into the championship equations because she was huge in game one when they really wiped the floor with Southside. Had the biggest win in the history of the WNBL in the grand final game. That's how badly they wiped Southside. Sorry about that. I know that's your team. they were terrific. But I think those two, getting Akusa back from injury and getting Hill sort of unexpectedly because she was good at Sydney and stuff, were key elements that I think people have kind of glossed over a little bit in talking about how great Townsville was. But, you know, you take Hill out and it's a pretty much a different situation, I think.
Let me get your take on Guy Malloy, interim head coach of the Sydney Flames.
I think Shelley is... who filled in and did quite well as a rookie coach, Shelley Gorman. I was surprised that she...
So was I.
But I think Sydney's all about the name and the experience, and you can't fault Guy Malloy for experience and what he brings to the table. So it doesn't become a question of male or female. A lot of people try to turn this into a sexist issue. It isn't.
How can you not take a Guy Malloy if he's available? That's like Gorgian coming available. You grab it. You know, Paul Hanare on a New Zealand female. You grab it. You know, you just
it's
don't.
The best
Rick, you know, Bebo, Sean Dennis.
I'm there.
So, and we're a big fan of Guy, and Guy listens to our show a lot as well, and we know that. But, yeah, I completely agree with that. I want to just move on to the NBL. Melbourne United, by far the winners at the moment with all the signings that are going on. JA's back. Travers moving from Perth. I can't believe that one. So that's, you know, and Huck Porty coming back. You know, you put in there with you know, CG43, who's killing it over in Paris. And this team's reloading, and I love it.
Yes, I think, and Dean Vickerman being reappointed for an additional 4 years shows the faith the club has in him, and that means you get full buy-in from your players because they know he's here for the duration.
I think that could make him a decade coach when for that club, wouldn't it? At least
he'd be pretty close.
Look,
and a great guy he is too.
Absolutely, another coach that we've had on here and who listens, and you know, big fan of us, and we're aware of him. Mate, we're going to wrap it. I think that's about it. Thank you to Tom Abercrombie. That was absolutely fantastic. To Piranha Media, love you guys. And don't forget, Burger Boss. We love him. Body, it's great to be having a chat with you. And please, everyone, get on our socials, talk about it. We've got a couple of interesting guests, hopefully, coming up very soon. And look out, Body and I still want to, you know, keep this going through the off-season and get some people on because it's nice to hear. We got the scoop today.
What are we talking on? What are we doing in the NBL? I've forgotten.
Perth.
Righto. Take two.
That's our out. See you later.
All right, you ready?
I think we've already got it.
You reckon that's it?
No. Okay, see you right. Later.
Fine, no, fine. All right. No. Let's do some proper, and Joseph can buck around with it like he does.